Doug is doing a devotion. I told him this morning I heard a song this week. It's kind of cool. Just the beginning of it. It starts as, "Down in the valley is a mountain of a man and a shepherd boy with a sling in his hand. As one comes fighting with a shield and a sword, and the other comes in the name of the Lord." Praise the Lord. Huh? Comes in the name of the Lord. And that's why I'm here this morning. Praise the Lord. I had an interesting week this week. I had an uncle pass away yesterday. He was about 88 years old. Him and his wife been married 68 years. A long time, you know. And pretty cool. Pretty cool. But, you know, just life is full of stuff, isn't it? Huh? It is. And you guys see what the sermon title today is? Subject of God's grace. You know, when you have asked the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you have become a subject of His grace. Mm-hmm. Amen. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Good way to remember grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Because everything that He paid for on the cross is ours. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. It's been an exciting morning. I've just been pumped up this morning. Must have got too much sleep last night. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. We're looking for You to show up this morning, Father. We need Your presence here this morning. I need Your presence to speak and articulate this word, Your word, in a way that we can apply it to our lives, take it into our hearts, and make us love You more. I just ask You, Father, for Your presence this morning. That would be a mouthpiece for You. And just praising You, Father, and all of it. Give You all the glory, Father, because You are so worthy. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Yeah, subject of God's grace. Becoming a subject of God's grace, I thought about would be a good sermon title, too. But, I got a couple verses that I'm going to read really quick. They're not, I didn't give them to Alan, so you can look at them if you want to, but I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul here, he wanted to go visit the Corinthians. He told him he was going to come. Whatever reason, wasn't able to. They had some stuff going on. So in his flesh, he had said, "I'm going to come," but because of reality, he couldn't make it. So, let's see, verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Now because I changed my original plans, was I being unstable?" It says, "What I plan to do, I plan according to do the flesh, like a worldly man, ready to say yes, yes, when it may mean no, no." You know what I'm saying? Didn't know. "As surely as God is trustworthy and faithful and means what He says, our speech and message to you have not been yes, but might mean no." Verse 19, "For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who has been preached among you by us, by myself, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him it is always the divine yes." Look at this next verse. I want you to see this. Verse 20 says, "For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes in Christ." You know there are 7,000 promises in the book? 7,000. And you know what the answer to all those promises are? Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think I'm too high here, but yes. He says, "For this reason we also utter amen to God through Him. To God be the glory." Huh? Because all God's promises are answered in Christ Jesus. Need to get that in your mind. Okay. They're all answered in Christ Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, this is kind of cool because, Dougie's devotion this morning, we didn't talk, really. He talked a little bit when he was here, but we didn't talk about what he was going to talk about. In Colossians chapter 1, I want to read you a couple things here. I want you to see something here. Verse 9, let's start in verse 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, For this reason we also, from the day we heard it, have not ceased to pray and make requests for you, that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight and understanding and discernment of spiritual things, that you may walk, and this walk may live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in by the knowledge of God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. Verse 11. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience with joy. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints of God in the light. God has qualified you. Do you feel qualified? No, I don't. Verse 13. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. You know what? When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you, right? The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He lives inside of you. What are you afraid of?
Everything.
Huh? We sang some. I didn't pick these songs for any particular reason. It was just the Lord just worked them out this morning. But that fear no more. I want to fear no more. Are you afraid of anything? Are you afraid of getting up here and talking in front of people? Are you afraid of getting up and singing in front of people? Are you afraid of messing up in front of people? That's me. That's me. You know what? My God says, I've qualified you. I've qualified you to do what I ask you to do. Wow. So what is the work that I'm supposed to do? Well, let's go back to John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 6. Interesting here in John chapter 6 that the Lord Jesus Christ has fed 5,000 people with a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread. Nothing really major, but he fed 5,000 people. It's a lot, right? John chapter 6. So he feeds these 5,000 people. He sends the disciples to go across to the ocean lake. He's there praying in a mountain. They're having trouble out there, so he walks out on the water to see them. Pretty handy. Be kind of a nice attribute to have. When I swim, I go right to the bottom. I swim like a rock. I land on the bottom, I run on the bottom. That's the way I swim. Okay? But it'd be a nice attribute to have to walk on the water, right? So he's done all this stuff. He goes over. The people come looking for him because they're like, where'd he go? Yeah, he was over here. The boats went there. How'd he get there? So all this conversation going on. So they're asking him some stuff, and he says, you know, you didn't come looking me for any reason other than because you ate yesterday. You had plenty to eat. That's the only reason. That's what he says. That's the only reason. This is the Matt version. He said, the only reason you come looking for me is because what work are we supposed to do? What work are we supposed to do? And in John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus replied, this is the work or service that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. What? Jesus says, the work that God requires of you is to believe on me. That's it? That's all? Yeah, that's what he says. There, that's what he says. Says the work you need to do, believe on me. So, satisfying God does not come from the work we do, but from who we believe. Accepting that the Lord Jesus Christ is who he said he is, all spiritual growth is based on this. We're in Sunday school. If you guys are missing it in Sunday school, we're going through a pretty amazing book. We've been here, what, a couple, 3 years less? Yeah, we were getting it. We are getting it. I mean, we go at least a half a page every Sunday. But there is so much stuff in there. And we're talking about becoming like Christ, you know? And he says, he didn't make you to be comfortable. He made you to become more like him. And we start looking at that, and it's been on my mind, this work. What work are we supposed to do? Charles Spurgeon. You know who Charles Spurgeon is? I don't know why you wouldn't. He died like 100 years ago. He was a preacher back in the 1800s. He wrote this down, and I had to write this. I thought this was pretty good. Faith is most pleasing to God because it is the comprehensive summary of all true work. Your faith is the comprehensive summary of all true work. He says, there lies within the heart of faith, every believer, every possible form of holiness. And he gives an example here, and I thought this was pretty good. As a forest may lie asleep within an acorn. You know when you see a bunch of trees out in the woods of forest, it started with a seed, right? And he says, as a forest may lie asleep with an acorn, so within the bounds of faith, little though it is, every virtue lies hidden. Because you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside you, and he can use stuff. He knew I'd be a crazy wild man. He knew that. I was never that way. I was the quiet one. I have one picture of me in school. What? One picture. And it's me looking this way. Says, the normally quiet man, but well, that's called talking to somebody. That's what it said under the caption. In the yearbook. That's the only picture they got of me. And you can't tell who it is. Because I was that guy. I never said a word. But somehow, God knew that I was going to be some kind of an idiot. Huh? For him. Isn't that cool? That's pretty cool. I thought that's pretty cool. Okay. So, work we're supposed to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Let's go to the book of Philippians. Let's go to the book of Philippians. I got a couple of verses here I want you to see. Lord's going to tie all this together. And he will. I believe that he will. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. What does it say? I am convinced. Paul writes, and I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue unto the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. What? You're a work in progress. Is that pretty cool? If you think, man, I've really messed up, you are still a work in progress. So am I. So am I. You ever hear me sing and mess up a song? Isn't that terrible? You think, boy, that guy, I had a tomato I throwed at it. Isn't that what you think? Huh? Isn't that where you go with that? I mean, I would. I'd think, that guy, you shut up. You know what I mean? But God is working in you. And I looked at this. Being confident, Paul writes down here, he's persuaded. Paul says, without a doubt in my mind, I'm persuaded that God is going to do a good work in you. Okay? And this word for work actually is an occupation. And in the Greek verb here, has begun, it's used only here. And in Galatians 3:3, it says, both are referring to salvation. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we talked about it Sunday school today. You missed it. You know the whole sermon if you went to Sunday school today. Huh? You could sleep through the whole thing I'm talking. Wouldn't that be great? Huh? You don't have to listen to me. Wouldn't that be great? Huh? He's talking about salvation. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, he starts working in you. And he starts changing you from the inside out. And he starts making you more like Christ. Wow. Wow. Anybody feel like Christ-like? No. I know. No. I'm like, wow, I can't walk on water. I've tried. I have tried. It don't work for me. Okay? But he's going to complete this work in you. He says, God doesn't do anything half. God never fails. He says, I believe that God is going to complete this work in you. And without a doubt, I believe he's going to. And God don't lie, right? He don't lie. Let's keep going. God's work for us began when Christ died on the cross in our place. Wow. His work within us began when we first believed. Now the Holy Spirit lives in us, enabling us to become more and more like Christ every day. If you don't look at your Bible, if you don't talk to God, if you're not in prayer, how are you going to get more like Him every day? Huh? The answer is, you can't. Okay? You could be more like me! That'd be bad, wouldn't it? It would be! It'd be terrible! No! God has a plan for you! He has a plan for you! He's got something He wants you. He's got something only you can do for Him. Isn't that cool? He didn't save you to become a knot on a tree. He saved you because He loves you first. Wow. Alright. So what do you want to tell me now? Do you feel like you're not making progress in your spiritual life? When God starts a project, He finishes it. God will help you grow in grace until He completes His work in your life. And I wrote this down because, you know, this kind of hits home with me. It says, remember when you're discouraged, God will not give up on you. He promised to finish the work He has begun. When you feel incomplete, unfinished, or distressed by your shortcomings, remember God's promise and provision. Don't let your present condition rob you of the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ or keeping you from growing closer to Him. Your joy is in Him. Are you in a bad situation, circumstance right now? I got several of them going on. Several of them. One big thing I got going on is right now, my job description is going to change a little bit. Okay? We have a job somewhere, there's multiple people, and there's personnel issues. Personnel issues. That's the way it is. And because I'm an idiot and get along with everybody and deal with personnel issues, they're going to send me to this place. Like, really? So we thought of you when we had all this trouble. I'm like, really? And I told the Lord, I said, woo. I'm getting older. My patience ain't what it used to be. You know what I mean? I'm 10 grandkids later. My patience ain't what it used to be. And I'm thinking, wow. You know, I thought, maybe the Lord's trying to grow me. Yeah. Maybe He's trying to teach me some things that I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I need to rely on Him a whole lot more than I have been. Yeah. So I wrote this down. Sometimes God rescues us from things. Sometimes He rescues us out of things. Sometimes He changes us in things. Let Him choose. He knows best. Wow. I'm going to put that on my refrigerator. Because sometimes He just takes us out of stuff. Sometimes He leaves us in the stuff. And most of the time, you're going to find He's going to change you in the stuff. You know what? You're going to be better because of it. God has begun a good work in you. He has. This good work has to do with your salvation. Let's keep moving here. Let's keep moving. Charles Spurgeon. That guy, I've been seeing him a lot lately. He's been really touching home with me stuff. If you ever read, you ever have the chance to read the biography of his life, very interesting. He suffered a lot of physical problems. They say he's the prince of preachers because you can go back and look at the stuff he wrote over 150 years ago, and it's very pertinent today. He wrote this. He says, to make a person healthy in body, wealthy in estate, and to educate his mind and train his faculties, all these are good, but in comparison to salvation of the soul, they sink in significance. The most important thing God has you is your salvation. He wants you to spend eternity with Him. Without salvation, you can't. Without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't. He's the only way. He is it. He died on that cross for you and me. Wow. So let's go to Thessalonians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Just a couple books to the right here. Philippians, Colossians. Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm making it easy. Staying in the first chapter of most of these books. You ain't got to look real hard. Real simple. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Start in verse 2. We are ever giving thanks to God for all of you continually, mentioning you in our prayers. Paul was always mentioning everybody in his prayers. Hint, hint. Recalling unceasingly before our God and Father your work, what? Your work energized by faith and service motivated by love and unwavering hope in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. And I read that, I thought, you know, Paul uses this an awful lot. He uses these three virtues, faith, hope, and love. He covers them a lot. He covers that an awful lot. And I got to looking at this, and I thought, this is kind of cool. And I wrote this down, too. Faith rests in the past. Love works in the present. Hope looks to the future. Faith looks back to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Love looks up to the Lord Jesus Christ at the Father's right hand. Hope looks forward to the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ come for His own. The emphasis here is on the qualities affixed to the virtues. Thus, work that flows from faith, labor that is motivated by love, and steadfastness that is grounded in hope. Faith working. Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is who He said He was? Going to motivate you to do anything. You got faith. You got to have faith to believe in Him, right? You got to have faith. You got to believe that He is who He said He was. He is where He said He is, and He sent His Holy Spirit. You got to believe this. It's a faith, right? When a person truly believes, receives, accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, faith, hope, and love start radiating outward from them. You then have a working faith, a labor of love, and an enduring hope. I'm going to read that again. You have a working faith, a labor of love, and enduring hope. You know, no matter what my situation is in life, no matter what your situation is in life, we have a hope, right? Do you know where you're going? I'm going to spend my eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You know where you're going. So does all this stuff that I deal with every day going to bring me down? Yeah, it does, right? It beats you up. It does. But you know, when my eyes go there, yeah! Huh? Yeah! Really? You're going to do that? Really? You're going to say that? You're going to give me that hand signal wave? You know, the one-finger hand signal wave that you get driving down the road? You're going to say, praise the Lord for you, brother! Hope you get better! Huh? Something wrong with that, isn't there? Huh? Something wrong with that. I heard on the news, since January 1 of this year, they've had 500 situations on airplanes that they've had to even land airplanes because people got irate, stupid, whatever they do. And I'm thinking, you go to the grocery store. People get, they're very nervy, ain't they? Yeah. They got a bad attitude. Yeah. They look like they're mad all the time. Yeah. And I come through there just... Huh? This guy has got problems. You bet I do. I got more problems you can shake a stick at. You know what? I got an answer to my problem. One day my problem's going to come to an end. One day my problem's going to stop. One day I'm going to stand before Him and go like, whoo! That was a good time. Huh? Why be miserable while we're here? You can be miserable. We all got stuff to be miserable about. I do too. Come talk to me. I'll give you some things I can be miserable about. Some things I know I can't change. Everything I know I can pray about. And everything I know God is working on. So no matter what it is, no matter what the situation, no matter what's beating me up, I know He's working on it. Yeah. Amen. Huh? Let's keep going. We're not there yet. I want to show you a couple of things here that I thought was kind of interesting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 says, Oh, brethren, beloved by God, we recognize and know that He has chosen you. What's that say? That God has chosen you. You ever hear about election? God has chose you before the foundation of the world? He did. The issue of election, chosen election, God choosing us, it's difficult. It's difficult to think. You know, we are born with a free will, right? If I want to eat candy, I'm going to eat candy. If I want to put ice cream on my chocolate cake, I'm going to put ice cream on my chocolate cake. Maybe even a cherry on top. Maybe even some whipped cream. Because it's my choice, right? It's my choice. Now, is it good for me? Yeah, probably not. I probably should eat some celery and vegetables. It'd be better for me, right? But that doesn't sound as good, does it? Huh? It don't sound as good. So I have a choice that I can make. We all have choices to make. God chose you before the foundation of the world. Before God spoke the worlds into existence, He knew He was going to choose you. Isn't that something? He was going to come looking for you. In 1965, man, that's a long time ago. 57 years. Huh? That's a long time. These old people. We got some old people around here, don't we? Old. We got some old fogies, isn't that what? Old geezers? Maybe an old geezer. I think Becky said old geezer. That's what I think it was. Huh? Oh! When I was 4 years old, my mother said I had a little Bible and I walked around preaching to people. When I was 4 years old. Huh? That's what she told me, you know? And I thought, the Lord came looking for me early, didn't He? He did. Some of us, it takes a couple more years, right? God comes looking for you. And He knows just exactly the situation to put you in that you can look to Him because you want to believe there's something else out there other than what the mess I'm in now. Right? We were chosen by God. And I'll read you this. Even though it's hard to understand, even though we may not be able to completely comprehend how these two truths can coexist, we can say this, and I wrote this down. It says, being chosen comes from the heart of God. God loved you so much that He chose you. That's something? The God of the universe, the God who sent His precious Son to die on that cross, take the sins of the whole world, yours and mine, took all that sin, everything that I'm going to do, everything that I did, everything I'm going to do today, everything I'm going to screw up tomorrow. He took it upon Himself. Because He loved us so much. Isn't that cool? It should be an incentive to please Him. Because He loved me. It gives me a little incentive to say, you know, He loved me so much. You paid the price for me. What can I do for you? Be careful when you ask that question. You might get there looking like me. That'd be great. I wouldn't be the only crazy one. Wouldn't that be great? Huh? Human responsibility requires that we actually confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Focus on living to please Him. And share the gospel with others. The point is, you are saved to serve God by choice, not by chance. The point is, you are saved to serve God by choice, not by chance. God found you before you found Him. And that choice was for fulfilling a divinely ordained purpose on earth. There are people, there are things that God wants to do through you. What do you think about that? God loved you so much, He's got something He wants you to do. And it's something that only you can do for Him. Isn't that cool? Maybe it's talking to somebody that nobody would even listen to me. They see me and walk the other way. This guy's crazy. Maybe you don't look as crazy as I do. Maybe that's the thing. I don't know. There's something that God has for you to do. Remember that. He has something only you can do. And He's going to keep hounding you. He's going to keep working on you. In verse 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says, for our preaching, the gospel came not only in word, but also in power. In the Holy Spirit with great conviction, absolute certainty, You know that what kind of man we proved to be among you for your good. Paul didn't just come to these people and dump a boatload of scripture on them. Okay? He didn't just come with a big wheelbarrow of gospels. That makes a person that can read, but do you really believe in what you got going on? Paul did not just bring the word. He said it came with power. Ooh. What do you suppose is going on there? Huh? People's getting healed. Things is going on. God's working. That word is not only being put out there, it's coming with power.
Power.
Huh? Amen. I gotta keep moving. There's gotta be more to faith than words. There has to be power on the believer's life. Action that actually makes a difference in his or her world. Are you making a difference in your world today? Do people look at you and say, I don't want to be like this guy? Huh? You ever think about that? You don't realize people are watching you. People are watching you. When they come to you and says, oh, we thought you would be the guy, because there's still a lot of trouble down there. We thought you would be the guy to be able to handle all that stupidity. Really? I'm old. Why would you do that to me? Huh? People are watching you. They're keeping an eye on you. They're watching how you react to situations. When you do something or bust something or hit something, or they're asking you, huh? Beep, 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 beep. Huh? They're watching you. People are watching you. That's scary. Because I know who I am. Because I would like to run some of them people right off the road. Confess that sin. Lord, I know. But you've seen that idiot. Right? And then he says, yeah, you were that idiot one time. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I'll read this to you. And we're talking about this. I'm going to read this. This is Matthew Wust is a Greek scholar. All he does is the New Testament, period, exclamation point. And he's got, there's a big volume set of these, and he has an actual thing that he does that he actually took the Bible and he wrote it out like it would be in our language today. And I want to read you 1 Thessalonians here. Let's read this to you. So we are always giving thanks to God concerning all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering unceasingly your work produced and characterized by the faith which is yours, and your toil motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love. Wow. And your patient endurance under trials, which finds its source in your hope, which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God, even the Father, since we know, brethren, that you have always been loved by God, and at the present time are the objects of His affection. Do you know you are the object of God's affection? Do you know that? Do you believe it? Do you think it sometimes? When you're eating that big bowl of ice cream and cake and food stuff, you think, God probably ain't liking this. Huh? Is that what we do? God is everywhere. He sees everything. He knows the thoughts I have. He knows the actions I do. He knows the... Huh? I'm not a nice person. I told you that before. You don't believe me, but I'm not. I had a lot of anger issues when I was young. A lot. A lot. When I was 12, I beat my brother, 16 years old, over the head with a broom and came on the ground beating living tar out of him because he tried to stick the broom in my face. I was mad. It's not very nice. It's not like Christ-like, is it? No. But as I got older, I realized that I have to control my anger. I realized that it's a bad thing. I realized that I'm not a nice person when I get to that point. And Lord, He's working on me with it. So He puts me in situations where I'm going to get angry. Don't make me angry. Huh? Like the Incredible Hulk guy. Huh? You know what I'm saying? used to be me. Not so much anymore. The Lord's still working on me. I want to read you. There's a couple things here. God not only lovingly orders our steps, but also our stops. When we think we're walking along pretty good, and God puts a stop where we're headed, the direction we're headed. We had a good direction. Had a clear path. Looked pretty good from there. Getting right there. You know, looked like we're going the right direction. Looked like I'm working for the Lord. Doing a thing. And God says, no, I want you to go back this way. I don't like that way. I don't like that. There's going to be a lot of trouble back that way. It looks better there. God says, no, you're going that way. Deep breaths, calm, right? Mm-hmm. You know the joy we have in the Lord? We should be thankful that He chose us to go back that way. Because there's something going on back there that He wants us to work on. It's probably me, obviously. But you know, it can be somebody else too. I can help somebody else. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school too. You know, mentoring people and trying to help people along and maybe call them on the phone, see how they're doing and different things like that, you know. As Christians, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what we're supposed to do. Love one another. It is a labor of love. Like loving your kids. Sometimes they're not real lovable, are they? Right? Sometimes they're not. Sometimes we're not real lovable. But as family, we still have to love one another, right? And that's the neat thing about family. We are a family. We're a church family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. He loved you so much that He's got something for you to do. Isn't that cool? That's cool. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, Paul states, he said, I'm getting to the point where my soul's going to be separated from my body. It means they're going to kill him. He said it in a nice way. He said, I'm ready to be poured out. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Wow. That'd be something to say at the end of your life. I fought a good fight, Father. I've done everything you give me to do, even though I didn't want to. Even though I didn't like it. I had joy in you knowing you're with me. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Let's give the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne. Father, we just ask, Father, your presence be with us. Your Holy Spirit, Father, here would just impress this upon our hearts that you love us. You chose us before the world was ever formed. You love us so much. You would do anything for us. As a matter of fact, you did. You sent your own Son, the one and only, your one and only Son, to die on a cross, to pay a sin debt penalty that we in no way, shape, or form could ever in a billion years pay. You took and paid the cost for that, Father. You chose us. I praise you, Father. I praise you that you love us, Father. I just ask, Father, that we could show a little love back to you, that we could just praise you, do what you call us to do, even when it hurts, even when we don't want to. Father, we know that you love us. We thank you for it. We just want to show a little bit of that love back to you. Father, I ask these words to be applied to our hearts and our minds. We could have a labor of love, working faith, and a hope and a joy is in you. Father, I praise you and I love you. All in your precious name we pray. Amen. Next part of the service, we're a little short on singing today, so I'm going to sing a song here at the end. Try to. Lord's going to work on that. The elders come forward. This is a time we offer every week. This is a time for prayer for you. We're offering this time to take you before the throne and ask God to work in the situation in your life. Les is up here. Jess is up here. These guys love you. I hope you know that. They love you very much. That's why we're up here.